Scripture reading this morning, I want us to look at Revelation chapter 5, verse 9 to 12. And they sang a new song. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you are slain, and with your blood you purchased men from God. Every tribe and language and people and nation, and you have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on earth. Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice they sang, Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise.
I really like the microphone, so I'm just going to speak again. Hi, I'm Chelsea Ledford. I was raised in North Carolina, and when I turned 15, my family and I moved to Lviv, Ukraine to be missionaries. When I first moved to Ukraine, my family and I started taking Ukrainian language lessons. We started with the basics, learning the alphabet and then moving on to simple words like beautiful, garden, sun, and then we went on to form sentences. I like the beautiful garden, look at the beautiful sun. Well, one day, my dad got really brave, and so he went outside and he was walking around, and he saw this lady gardening and watering her flowers. So my dad walks up to her, and he says in a very proud voice, "Wow, you have a beautiful butt." Of course, this isn't what he meant to say. He meant to say, "Wow, you have a beautiful garden," but he didn't. And the lady at first was a little confused, but was like, "Thanks," and kept working. Words are really important. We use words to communicate our thoughts and our feelings, our wants and our desires. Words are also very powerful. They can be used for good and evil purposes. Words can also be misused and misspoken. Coming to Geneva from Ukraine was an interesting transition. I had spent 3 years living in a former Soviet country, so I was out of practice when it came to American mannerisms. The culture of Ukraine is very different from that of the U.S. Of course, there are loving people in Ukraine, but the society is not as open as that of American society. No one strikes up a conversation with a stranger standing in line at the grocery store, and the concept of helping another person is really not a first reaction for Ukrainians. So when I came back to the U.S., I went to Walmart, of course, and when I walk in, I'm shocked by how many choices there are and all the stuff that there is, because in Ukraine, it's not like that. And after the initial shock, I finally get the things that I need, and I go to check out. And as I'm waiting in line, this woman just starts talking to me. And I'm about to have a nervous breakdown and a meltdown. I'm about to be in tears because, first, her southern accent was extremely thick, and that made my head spin. And second, because I'm so used to being in a bubble while shopping that when she invaded my bubble, it threw me completely off guard. But I realized that I had really learned to stay focused on my bubble and my goals without concern for others. Ephesians 4:29 talks about how we are to use words that build each other up. I know that it's easier to just tear each other down or to ignore others, but that is not what God wants from us. Also, in James 3:10, it states that out of the same mouth we curse and praise the name of God. This isn't right either. We should all embrace the opportunity to speak words that are full of grace that edify one another. We should also welcome the opportunity to strike up conversation with people everywhere we go. God gives us so many opportunities to be a witness and tool for Him, and yet many times we turn our backs onto what God is calling us to do. When people find out that I'm a missionary, they usually want to know what it's like over there, as if Ukraine is a far-off planet that isn't tangible. Ukraine is like America when it comes to missions. There are hurt and dying people here as well as over there. We as Christians should be reaching out to others no matter where we are. Our mission fields are here on Geneva campus as well as in other countries. We are given a wonderful gift, the gift of communication, yet we are all given a choice as to how we will use this gift. So I challenge you to take a deep look into your life and the way you live. Are you living to glorify Christ, and are you using your words to build others up and to spread the message of the gospel? Thank you.
Hello. My name is Daniel Essig. I went to study abroad last semester in the country of Scotland, the city of Edinburgh. When I first decided to go to the University of Edinburgh, Scotland, my desire and hope was to change people. Any of you who know me want to know, I want to be a missionary at some point, and I was really hoping that I could help all the people I came in contact with. I wanted to, truly, I just wanted to see someone come to Christ, and often I forgot that I was going there to study too. But I know that God did use me when I was in Scotland, but I don't know if I'll ever find out to what extent. I think what God had in mind for me, which wasn't what I planned, was that I would learn from my observations and interactions. I feel that his big reason for me to go was that I would change. I was afraid of change, which caused me to deny its occurrence. I came to realize, though, that God was going to change me, whether I liked it or not. One way that God molded me was through the talks I had with people. At the University of Edinburgh, obviously it's a secular university, I had so many opportunities to share my faith with non-Christians that from all over the world, I never thought I would have that many opportunities to share my faith. And to be honest, at first I was like, wow, you know, I'm not used to all these non-Christians. But God really stretched me through the talks I had with people. At the university, as soon as they found out that I was a Christian, I was almost looked down upon as a student because I obviously didn't understand all the scientific facts that would say otherwise. But God really managed to speak to me through the talks I had. I met every Wednesday for the entire semester with a guy I met named Alex. God really demonstrated to me through the conversations I had with this man and through witnessing to him that life without God is really and deeply cold. He was an atheistic Jew, and I just couldn't get over how cold atheism is without a life without God. So God taught me what it's like to live without him. He also taught me hope. I remember talking to this one man named Muhammad, and I witnessed to him at first, and I was like, look, you know, Jesus loves you and stuff like that. And he said, no, I'm a Muslim, and I couldn't really believe in that. But after talking to him a couple times and meeting with him, he came to one of the Christian club meetings on campus, and that really struck me, and I was really thankful to God for showing me that. He taught me that he can work amazing things through us if we take a chance with talking to people. I wanted to make it clear, though, that a lot of these talks that I had with people couldn't have happened unless I had learned some of the things I learned here. I talked to scientists, artists, linguistics, you name it. I was talking to so many people about Jesus, and I couldn't have carried on a lot of these conversations had it not been for what I learned here in some of the liberal arts classes and stuff like that. So just wanted to encourage you all to take advantage of that. But God worked me and stretched me a lot in my time in Scotland. He taught me much more than I can possibly explain in the 1 minute I have left. But this is what God did with me in Scotland. And my question or challenge is, what's he doing with us here at Geneva? So, thank you.
Marhaba. And this is hello. This is hello in Arabic. Today I'm going to speak to you about not just the quest that the group I was with undertook, but my journey in Christ. With us, it started with the preparation Even before we got to Dearborn, we prepared ourselves mentally to gain knowledge of the people in the city that we were going to encounter. We prepared our souls by questioning who we were, who our country is, and its heart. Our prayers given to God to save lives. So with this preparation, we formed the mission statement. And this mission statement, I thought about this, is a life force, similar to Delta Force. But instead of being motivated by death, we're driven by life. And this formed our being in Dearborn. So that focus was love. Unconditional communication to communicate with them, the people of Dearborn, but also within our group. Transparency, that we'd be open to the Spirit, allow them to see the delight of Jesus and who we are in Him. That we may be led by the Spirit, and that with that we'll have growthing. And that growthing will be continual in the life of Jesus. So really that brought us into Dearborn to allow us to grow in relationship with God and man. And we first encountered the Angel House, which is where the base of our ministry really was. We came upon this little building that looked like a military bunker. And even before that, when we came into the city of Dearborn, it was like coming into a Middle Eastern city. Like, we were not even in the United States. And this is in our backyard. This is 4.5 hours away in Michigan. So when we brought the love to our neighbors, we entered into this palace, and they showed us around this. And the outside looked like a military bunker, and inside it was like a palace. The walls were white, pearl flake on them. And it was amazing what happened there. God reached people through us. I'll give you a summary of the day, because each day was basically the same, besides working as a God did outside of the house. From 10 to 12, we met and we did one-on-ones in groups, males and females separate. Had to be that way. Then we met for fellowship and lunch. We went out for the day. Whatever activity we had planned, came back. We did a work project together. Had little time to rest, if any. Went and had a celebration of a dinner just to celebrate the life of the day. Came back, had some free time, together time, and we would just come and worship in the hookah room. And we would worship for hours on end, just giving it to God, praises and thanks for His glory and His power. Daily we did this. And just on a personal note, the guy that I was with, because every day I would meet with Gussin, who was an Iraqi prisoner of war, came to the States to be free, and is being freed as we speak. I met with him daily, and God built a relationship between us, a bond of love that cannot be broken. And as it culminated on Thursday, God had prepared me just like He prepared us for the trip. Spoken through us through scripture, through a newsletter, to bring us in the community more. And then a letter that was given to me through Francis Frangipane Ministry, being prepared for spiritual crisis. It's easy to call 911, which is the equivalent to praying to God, yes, but we have to be prepared for spiritual crisis, which is exactly what I was led into. And I didn't even realize it. It didn't dawn on me until afterwards, until I was receiving prayer for what took place, because Gusset had overdosed on medication. And his life was slowly being drained. And through whatever happened, we finally got back to his place, convinced him to get to the hospital after we called the ambulance, who had left after the first time. His second time came. We get in the elevator, we're going down. Russ, who's a gentleman that heads up everything, and he's immediately, starting to nod off. So we sit him in his seat. and he's losing consciousness. I'm trying to keep him awake. I don't know if he falls asleep, he may never wake up. So I'm yelling in his face, Gossage, you got to stay awake. It's getting worse and worse. Finally, security guard that was with me calls 911 again and says this happens often. I guess people overdose in their building often, and the ambulance takes a long time to get there. But to make a long story short, he ended up stopped breathing. I felt his pulse. I didn't feel it. And right now, in recollection, I think, well, maybe I overreacted. Maybe he didn't really stop breathing. Maybe I was out of my mind. Well, maybe it's D, all of the above. But I know that I did what I had to do to keep him alive. And then Salim, a guy that spoke to us before, said we all share the same breath. And I had to give of my breath so that he may have a new life. And when they took him away, he already suffered. As far as I know, he was beaten and bloody. I didn't get to see him after that, but he's with my prayers and he's with us right now as I speak to you. So please, what I say to you now, to ladies and gentlemen, keep Dearborn in your prayers. Keep the Muslim women in your prayers for the freedom from the bondage that they live in. Keep the men in your prayers that they will grow and the eyes of their hearts will be opened. Keep the Muslim people in your prayers so that Jesus may shine and his light may be glorified within us. Thanks be to God.
Buenos dias. Gabe stole my line, but I decided to use it anyway. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Allison Law, and I went on the Guatemala spring break trip with five other people from Geneva. The focus of our mission was to travel to a coffee farm called Finca Vista Hermosa. Bethany Warren, who's the co-owner of Beaver Falls Coffee and Tea, joined us on the trip, which was significant because her and her husband have been trading with this farm for several months now. We were able to experience the entire process of harvesting coffee from the very beginning point when it's picked from the tree as a cherry until it's brought to a dry mill and shipped to its destination. And we also met with several Mayans and their kids, and despite the language barrier, we connected through a series of games and activities. Allison Bentz, Rima Warren, and I prided ourselves on our accomplishment of teaching them the chicken dance and duck, duck, goose. It's definitely a good experience. But one of the days when we were there, our host, Eddie Martinez, took us to a coffee tree nursery, and he explained how the farmers take special care of their young trees by continuously weeding them and pruning them until they're ready to be planted in the fields on the hillsides. And through this special care, they yield more fruit, and as a result, they have a better harvest. And it's interesting because we can draw a parallel with this idea and the farmers and the care for their trees and the story, the biblical story in John 15 about the vine and the branches. Verse 1 states, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. Similarly, the farmers invest in each and every one of their coffee trees to bear something that will last. And after our team reconnected after the trip, we reflected on this story, and we can apply the principles in our everyday lives by what we learned at the farm. The trip was significant for several reasons. Among those includes, first off, the relationships that were strengthened with farmers through our visit. Secondly, by going to Origin and experiencing firsthand what the farmers do on a daily basis gave us a greater appreciation for their efforts. And in a sense, we are the branches that extend to other worlds, in this case, Guatemala, in an effort to allow God to teach us and instruct us more about his creation so we can become better stewards in this life. The trip taught us to have a different mindset, one that strives to be more fruitful, whether through our vocation or within our communities, by investing time and energy in others. It also taught us about justice and mercy and faith and how we can better implement that in our lives. In conclusion, it's been exciting to see these concepts come full circle by visualizing how coffee connected two completely different worlds, Beaver Falls and the people within the mountains of Agua Dulce, Guatemala. The work done by those farmers overflows into this community as coffee drinkers enjoy the result of their harvest. Finally, I encourage you to seek out anyone in our team, any members of our team, and we would love to talk to you more about it. Thank you.